Praise the Lord. Father, we want to thank you for this opportunity that we have to break the bread of life, to be able to tap into that spiritual realm of liberty, of healing, of deliverance. We thank you that it all is incorporated in the Word, that you speak unto us concerning the hour we live in, the place that we are in personally, and the remedy that you are giving us and the opportunity that is being presented to us as a people to be a part of that experience. Yes. Mm-hmm. So we just commit our minds to you today. Yes. Commit our emotions, commit our desires, Father, that they might be your mind, your emotions, your desires.
Amen.
I pray for the words that you might speak to me. Pray for the ears that are hearing, Father, that they might be one in the same thing. Father, we just commit it into your hands in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Praise God.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Very happy to be with you this morning. If you have your Bibles, you might want to open them up to Romans. It's a familiar chapter. It's a familiar verse. You probably used it many times, many places, when talking to somebody about the Lord. But I kind of want to approach it from a little different angle. It's not so much a testimony of salvation as much as it is a testimony as unto perfection.
Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord. Because we are a people who not only believe in salvation, but we are supposed to be a people who believe in perfection.
Amen.
And any other gospel that teaches us something less than perfection, any other gospel that wants to lead us in any other direction other than perfection, mm-hmm, it is a false gospel.
Yes, that's right.
Thank you.
I don't care if they are evangelical. I do not care if they are Pentecostal.
Amen.
To not fulfill the will of God, to not move in accordance to what is in the heart of God, what is in the desire of God, to accomplish that which God wants, is contrary to the will of God. No job is a good job until the job is done. I don't know of any employer, I don't know of any organization that gives you a job to do and you do it and you only do it halfway. Hallelujah. That will commend you or recommend you. As far as that concerned, even pay you for what you have done if you have not done what it is that they intended for you to do in giving you the job to do. Praise the Lord. Come in. Just come on in. No problem. Praise the Lord.
What chapter are you in?
I'm not there yet. I'm getting there. I'm getting there. This keeps you on the edge, right? I think maybe, you know, you might get the chapter, you know.
I think it's Romans 5, but
no, you're wrong.
Okay.
Praise the Lord. So we are talking about perfection, and that is the epitome of the gospel in which we believe in. In Hebrews, it is very clear, very explicit, 5th and 6th chapter, 5th going into the 6th chapter, leaving the doctrines of the gospel, and it goes through a list of those doctrines that we have. Let us go on to perfection.
Yes, amen.
So perfection is something that we should be striving for. Perfection is something that we should be aware of that God is now making available unto us. And if you would like to open your Bibles to Romans chapter 10. You were just 5 off. Praise the Lord. As I said before, it's probably a chapter that you are familiar with. You've probably heard of it many times, many different verses used in it. But and we usually use these verses to lead somebody to salvation or to accept the Lord Jesus Christ.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. And you know, I think part of our problem is our church mentality and the way that we look at things. Because when we talk about a person getting saved, we talk about him being saved or accepting salvation as though it is a total and complete thing that they have now had because they did or walked through a certain process. Hallelujah. And I think that's a wrong concept. And it tells me, what it really shows me is how the devil will use certain scriptures, certain thoughts, certain ideas of theology to corrupt the intent of God. That is the intent of the devil. He wants to corrupt the intent of God. Hallelujah. Because he knows that if he can corrupt that, he may not be able to stop you from getting saved. Hello?
Yeah.
He can't. If you have the heart to receive Jesus Christ, he can't stop you.
Yes.
Hallelujah. He may not be able to stop you from getting the baptism of the Holy Spirit. But if he can stop you, in spite of that,
amen,
from attaining the objective of what God has put on the table for you to obtain, then in some measure or in some manner, he has succeeded in corrupting the message of what it was that is in the scripture concerning his intent of perfection for you and I.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Now, we readily as a people will accept a doctrine that is something less than perfection.
Right.
Hallelujah. It's like you get in your car. How many of you will drive down the road without an insurance in your car? Well, you might do it, but do you feel at ease? Do you feel comfortable? Do you feel relaxed in it? Hallelujah. I don't think so. Hallelujah. So we want something of an insurance policy. God becomes something of an insurance policy because you and I really, 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 is there anybody here who really, really would like to go to hell?
No, sir.
Not at all.
Hallelujah. But we have the devil thinks, well, okay, they don't want to go to hell, so I will give them an insurance policy.
Mm-hmm.
Huh? Something that guarantees them that makes no difference where they are in life or what they do in life, as long as they do this and this and this, then they have the ability to have the reality of what it is that God wanted to give them in the beginning. Because the salvation and a position or a place of heaven is contingent upon what it was that God had in his mind in the beginning.
Yes.
Now, you know, I don't want to figure out the complexities of where people are in their personal relationship with Jesus Christ if their life expires and they go across without perfection.
Yes.
Praise the Lord. He's God, he can take care of that. But what I am saying concerning us that is pertinent is our thought about it. And if you have something, you know, the thief on the cross did not have what you and I have. Did not have the knowledge, did not have the experience, did not have the time. All he had was a desire or a revelation of eternity. And he took it and he went with God into that place of eternity. But he, without us, cannot be made perfect.
Right.
So as time rolls on and as the gospel expands and the revelation of God is coming, our position of jeopardy is increased.
Yeah.
Hello? Because that says, unto whom much is given, much is required. Not only as much is given, much is required, but it also says, to him that knoweth to do right and doeth it not,
yes,
to him it is sin.
Yeah.
So what the thief on the cross could do and get away with, I personally cannot do and not think of a retribution or an act of judgment that will come against me because of it. Hallelujah. So it says here in Romans chapter 10, it says, verse 4, for Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. Christ is the end of the law. Hallelujah. Now, it is not so much the end of the law that the law is finished, as much as it is the end of the law in that the law is fulfilled in Christ. Oh, okay, it's fulfilled in Christ. So that alleviates any responsibility I have concerning the fulfillment of that law. Hallelujah. Well, yes, as long as you're in Christ, but what does it mean to be in Christ? I can, you know, there's been so many gospels and messages about being in Christ. Hallelujah. And one of the things about being in Christ is that there are mechanics to getting into Christ.
Yes.
And if you don't facilitate, if you don't work with those concepts in your position of relationship with God on a vertical sense and demonstrating it on a horizontal sense, it's just theology. It's not something that is going to say abracadabra at the end of the day. You're coming into the position or the place that God wants you to have, and you're going to receive the fullness of the promise.
Amen.
Hallelujah. It's not going to work.
Amen.
Won't work. Hallelujah. Because there are something that you and I have to do. Hallelujah. And that is where the crutch of it is. Now, you can say that I'm preaching works. I'm not preaching works. I'm preaching reality of living life.
Active participation.
Yeah.
What did you say?
Active participation.
Absolutely. Active participation. Praise the Lord. It says, for Christ is the, for everyone that believeth. Hello? Believing is not a passive thing. I believe. Huh? I believe. How do you know I believe? How do you know I believe?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Because I will demonstrate what I believe in the thing that I do. Hallelujah. Now, you know, you can put it on the exterior. You can put it on the external. You know, if a man comes and asks you for a cloak, give him your coat and your cloak also. If he asks you to walk 1 mile, you walk with him 7. If he slaps you on the cheek, you turn the other one and let him hit that one. All of those things are, yes, demonstrations. But that's not the reality of what it is that God is trying to work within our soul. Hallelujah. And you know, we are such habitual characters. Well, maybe you're not. We are such habitual characters. And we are so much influenced by our external environment. We are. We are. We get angry over sin, aggravated, depressed, lifted, happy, sad. We get all kinds of dispositional positions of emotional and mental response because not of our internal environment necessarily, but our external environment. Let somebody say something to you at the job or teach you wrong. Huh? That's why they got unions, right? Huh? You can go to the union and file your grievance. I'm not picking on you. I don't know what your situation is, but praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I'm just aware of the post office union situation because of George. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And we respond that way. We move that way. We act that way. We relate that way. And then if that isn't enough, we begin to project that thought or that feeling to the different aspects of the situations that we are involved in. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Demonstration in process. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. We are not supposed to be a people of that nature. We are not supposed to be a people of that mind. We are a people of that mind because we are not yet come out of the natural realm into the spiritual realm to see the reality of God.
Yeah.
If we see the reality of God, nothing can affect us in a negative manner, negative way. I am not saying to you it's not painful, that it's not disturbing, that it doesn't do something concerning your demeanor, your behavior, but it should not bring the thought of frustration and defeat and depression and futility. None of those things are characteristics. None of those things are characteristics of God's nature. None of those. And you know that. I always like to think about Enoch. When I get into hard times, hard places, I like to start thinking about Enoch and begin to think about what his life must have been. My God, hallelujah. I have lived for such a short space of time compared to Enoch.
Yeah.
Enoch had to walk, how many, 300 and,
365.
365 years, right? Before he became good enough to be accepted by God. And I'm expected to do it in 70-some years. How do you call about crash course, right? Hallelujah. But we have something Enoch did not have.
Yeah.
We don't. We have something. We have forerunners. In fact, we have Enoch. Enoch didn't have Enoch. The only thing Enoch had was God and his and Adam. You look at the timeline of Enoch and Adam. They run simultaneously up to about the last quarter of Enoch's life. Hallelujah. So what do you think was happening? You know, I believe that Adam was sharing with Enoch those things until Enoch came to a place that he went beyond Adam. Hallelujah. And I think that was done on purpose to demonstrate the reality of the thing is possible. The capability of the potential that was given to man without the accoutrements that are given to us.
Yeah.
But let me tell you something. He didn't circumvent it. He came into the reality of them through faith.
Mm-hmm.
I believe that he began to understand the concept of the blood.
Yeah.
Because without the blood, you can't be saved. Without the blood, you cannot enter into the presence of God. And it says the Lamb was slain from the foundations of the earth. And somehow Enoch got into the reality of that thought of what it was that God did in his mind. Do you hear me? It isn't so much that Enoch went from one realm into another. It is that he walked out of the mind of man into the mind of God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. When we think about God, we want to put him in a physical form or in a concept that we are familiar with.
Amen.
We're going to be very surprised, I'm sure.
Amen.
Hallelujah. I recently had a dream, and in the dream there was a project going on, and there were many involved in it, and what they were trying to do is that they were trying to plug man's mind into a super brain. Hallelujah. And you know they're trying to do that and they have done it to some extent.
Oh, yeah.
They have hooked a computer up to a man's brain. Patrick Hamilton was one of those that was involved in that for quite a while, doing some sort of research and study and whatever they do in those arenas, think tanks and all that stuff. Hallelujah. We were trying to plug it in, and the devil was working to circumvent it. Anything and everything he could possibly do. And the one thing the devil has going for him is our humanity.
Mm-hmm.
Our humanity. My humanity. My humanity against your humanity.
Yes.
Hallelujah. But your humanity really isn't my problem.
Right.
And you know, that's the first position or the first place of deliverance for me. If I can stop blaming you.
Hallelujah.
That's true.
If I can stop blaming you, if we can stop blaming each other for what it is that we are having to deal with, everything on the surface says it's your fault. Everything on the surface says it's your fault. When you get in an argument, it's always her fault, right? Huh? Isn't that right? Yes? Right. Hallelujah. When husbands and wives get in, it's always the wife's fault or it's the husband's fault. And the husband could be sitting there saying, yeah, you're right. And in his head he's saying, no, you're wrong. Or vice versa. Hallelujah. Why? Because we do not have a position or the reality of what what the scripture is talking about when it says that Christ is the end of the law. You know, there is consequences for moving in law. You know that. Mm-hmm. There's a consequences. But every time we move out of Christ, we move into law, and we have to suffer the consequences of that movement, of that dispositional position that we place ourselves in. Sometimes it affects our bodies. Sometimes it affects our finances. Sometimes it affects our relationships. But it is nevertheless the law, or the judgment of the law, that is working on us. Why? 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 Why does God do that? What is the purpose of it? Well, the purpose of it is that the law was a taskmaster to what? Bring us to Christ. Hallelujah. So in that respect, even that is a positive thing. It's a positive thing, not a negative thing. We say, law, 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 law. It's all negative, all negative. It's out, it's done, it's finished. That is something that is good. It's designed to bring you back to a place of realization of who and what you are. Hallelujah. You know, I can look at myself in the mirror, and it's not that we're not to recognize, because the Bible says that we are to judge ourselves. So we have to recognize our maladies. We have to recognize our weaknesses. But brethren, we are responsible for doing something about it.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Doing something about it. Not working or manipulating or voting a situation where it will fix the exterior set of circumstances, and it seems as though we have harmony and continuity and unity, but inside there is no change.
Amen.
And it's only temporary. It's only a very temporal thing, because the devil knows what your limitations are. Hello?
Yes.
You know, you can be very responsible. You can be very, what's the other word I want? Responsible?
Diligent.
Huh?
Diligent.
No, well, diligent. Obligation. Obligation. Most of us serve God on the basis of obligation. We are obligated by what He's done for us to do what that we need to do for Him. We are obligated on the basis of going to heaven because we don't want to go to hell. We are obligated. And you can be one of the most obligated persons in the world. You can be one of the most responsible people in the world. In the world. Do you hear me? But the devil knows the limit or the line of that responsibility and obligation. And he will always build your situation to push you beyond your limit of obligation. Your feeling of obligatory responsibility. Hello? He knows you. He knows you. The only thing that he doesn't know is the Christ that is in you. And therefore, it is the only safety that we really have. Because it says, for Christ is the end of the law. If you come to Christ at the end of the law, you're finished. You're perfect. You know that. The law was designed to bring you to perfection. Huh? That's what the law was designed to do. It was to bring you to perfection. Hallelujah. Let us go on. Hallelujah. For Moses describeth the righteousness which is of the law, that the man that doeth those things shall live by them. But the righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise. I like that. Don't you like that? It speaks. The righteousness. Now, I don't know how you have looked at righteousness as an attribute, as a character trait, but it has a personality. Not only does it have a personality, but it has a mouth. And not only does it have a mouth, but it has something to say. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It says, righteousness that speaketh on the, say not in thine heart, who shall ascend to the heaven? That is to bring Christ down from above. Hallelujah. You know, we're all thinking about going to heaven, right? Hallelujah. Or who shall ascend into the deep? That is to bring Christ again from the dead. So it's not either going up or going down. Amen. It's not going up, it's not going down. It's maintaining the equilibrium in the midst of the status quo of where you are in the midst of your real life circumstance. It's not something that is projected way out there. Huh? I think it's on Father. Yes, it is. He says, verse 8, but what saith it? Now, 8 is the number of new beginnings, so there is a new way of thinking, brethren. There's a new way of behaving. There's a new way of speaking. There's a new way of hearing. Amen. That we are responsible to hear. One of the reasons why God, that you are born again and you're filled with the Holy Spirit is to be able to discern God. I would even go so far to say that that's the only reason you got it. That's the only reason. Because it says that butter and honey did he eat. Who is he? What are you eating? Are you eating butter and honey? Are you eating sour grapes? Huh? What are you eating? Hallelujah. Well, a lot of us dine on sour grapes. We all do it. Hallelujah. And maybe we get a little bit of butter and honey during the day. I don't know what your life is like. I just know the confrontation that is being poured out upon the children of God, the sons, the elect, the called of God. I know the bombardment. It is this is the game right here. This is the battlefield right here. Right here, right here. This is the battlefield. Your thoughts that you think in private and the thoughts that bombard you like incoming mortars.
Yes.
Our missiles fired from Palestine. coming into your brain with these thoughts and suspicions and suggestions and discernment. Hallelujah. Do you know that God is not going to show me anything negative about you unless I have a positive attitude and wanting to fix it, not come up and say, look, Jim, you have to change this and you have to do this and you have to do that. Yes. But get into the Spirit with God.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And if I don't have a love on my heart for Jim, God's not going to show me one thing.
Amen.
Yeah.
Because it will be detrimental to me. It will be detrimental to him. And the relationship and the continuity between us will be broken. God does not operate in that way. Amen. That is not the way God operates. Amen. Hallelujah. He says, Jesus says, have I not chosen you 12 and one of you is a devil? I just wonder if you were in that crowd of 12 people, what would be your first thought? Are you the devil? Are you the devil? Are you the devil? 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 Where's the devil? Huh? Hallelujah. What would you have done? Huh? Yeah, I'm sure you wouldn't have got your mirror. Oh, devil! Hallelujah. Why? Because we do not have the facility. We do not have the desire. Well, we might have a desire. But the desire is not what it should be. Here recently, well, I say recently, you know, it could be the last year or half, 2 years, I don't know. God just showed me the story. I was going to say the prodigal son, but I think it was another illustration. Well, it is the desire to have a relationship with the living God. There is something other than God that we want. Mm-hmm. It really is. Mm-hmm. It really is. Mm-hmm. Hallelujah. It can be family. It can be position. It can be salaries. It could be our monies. It can be security, peace of mind, harmony, unity. I don't care what it is. Good things. Good things. They're all good things. But if I have not my heart is not hunger and thirsting after a position of knowledge and position of relationship with the living God. And you know, something in that respect is even sometimes perverted. I want to know about God that I might use God to my own advantage.
Yeah.
And if you don't believe it, I'll just follow me to Africa. And let me take you into all of these churches we're going into. Hallelujah. You know, the churches, you say, well, that's Africa. Well, I'm telling you something. Africa is just a little more farther advanced and less sophisticated than what we are in our operation of church. Hallelujah. But it shows the stark reality of where it is at the end of the day and where you and I will be if we maintain our position of relationship to a system that denies the reality and the relevance of what it is God wants.
Hallelujah.
Not out there somewhere. Hallelujah. And you know, it scares us. It really scares us. It scares, well, I don't know about you, but it scares me that I have in my hands the ability to determine where I am at going to be at the end of the day. It's a frightening thing. But I don't think I'm quite frightened enough.
Amen.
Because I don't know that I really believe it.
Yeah.
Hello? Are you there? I'm not talking about you. I'm talking about me. Hallelujah. Put in my hand the responsibility because somewhere in my mind, I think in some way, some manner, God is going to do something so miraculous, so divine, so absolutely intervening that no matter where I am, what I am doing, I'm going to make it.
Osmosis.
Don't know what it is other than deception.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
And you go out there and tell the church and you'll get a violent reaction.
Oh yeah.
I remember one time years ago I told my cousin, she's a good Christian person. And I said there's no rapture. She freaked out. I mean she freaked out. She's just freaked out that there would be no escape hatch out of her life that was ungodly, unholy, absolutely, totally in opposition to God. She freaked out. Hallelujah. And she went to this person and said, hey, blah, 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 blah. He said this and blah, 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 blah. And went to this person, blah, blah, blah. Was that he saying true? Is it true? Is it true? And of course they told her, no, it's a lie. It's a deception. What are we talking about? We're talking about what it is that we believe. We're talking about what it is that we are believing. All right, what is it that we believe? Do you believe that you're born again? Oh yes, I got the blood, I'm saved. I have a salvation, I have God inside of me. Yes, you do. Yes, you do. But what is the reality of it? What are you doing with it? And is it buried so deep within the realms of your flesh that all you can see is flesh all around the reality of the life that is inside of you? Huh? Come on. What is it that we confess with our mouth? Maybe you should read that one. Hallelujah. Now, this is 8 is the number of new beginnings. 9 is the number of judgment. That if we shall confess with thy mouth, the Lord Jesus, confess with thy... Now, okay, if I said to you, what does that mean to you? Well, you go up to a saved person. I'm just taking a hypothetical situation. You say to him, if you will confess with your mouth that the Lord Jesus Christ, what do you think them do? Say, well, I believe that Jesus Christ is God. Right? Hallelujah. And it works. But that's not the reality of that verse and what it is speaking to us as individual. There has to be a confession on the continuum.
Yes.
Not only with your heart. We're talking about the verbalization of what is in your heart.
Amen. Yeah. devils can also say that Jesus is
God. Absolutely, but they cannot imitate him. Hallelujah. He says, if thou shalt, it says, what saith it? Let's go back up to verses. What saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart, that is the word of faith which we preach.
Yeah.
Praise the Lord. Brethren, a word, to be a word, has to be verbalized. There has to be something that expresses the reality of the thought that is in the mind that you are thinking. Hello? Hallelujah. So if we're thinking that we are born again, my goodness, that means that we have been translated out of a realm of death and hell and darkness into a realm of light. We are supposed to be a new creation. So why are we always magnifying the old creation?
Yes, amen.
Why are we always dwelling on the negative aspects of the old creation? Why are we always pronouncing with our mouths the inabilities and the infirmities of that old creation? No, I'm not talking to you. This is not a doctrine of denial. Hello? If I got a headache, I got a headache. And if I got a headache that hurts, it hurts. Hallelujah. And there's no way I can deny it all day long. Hallelujah. And not achieve anything. But if I am dwelling on it, and I am promoting it, and I am speaking it, and I am walking it, and I am demonstrating it. Hello?
Yeah.
You say demonstrate. Oh, what's wrong with you? Oh, my head hurts. And they, oh, it really hurts. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm not saying it's not a matter of denial. It is a matter of reality. I have a responsibility in my soul and in my mind to touch the hem of God's garment, that virtue. And sometimes I have to press.
Yeah. Amen.
Yeah.
Sometimes I have to press. There are many obstacles. Hello, you get in a confrontation with somebody. Attitudes and demeanors and behaviors. Things are not right. You have to maintain your equilibrium in that confrontation. You have to profess the newness of birth that is in your life.
Hallelujah.
Hello, are you there?
Hallelujah. Yes.
Hallelujah. And you know, the higher you get in God, the greater that you overcome in God. You know, I just got a letter from someone, and they were relating a dream to me that they had. And in the dream, you could see the progression of growth and maturity by what was happening in the dream. You know, and in the dream, they began to rebuke the devil. Hallelujah. Not accepting it, not laying down and rolling over and praying dead, but in the dream, standing up and beginning to discern.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And we have the same responsibility. We are to demonstrate the reality of what we believe. If we really believe in perfection, if we really believe that perfection comes by virtue of being called the Son, then there is something of the Son nature that we have to nurture.
Yes.
Hello?
Yes.
There's something of the Son nature that we have to promote. There's something of the environment of that nature that we have to do something about. Yes. Hello? And you know, this goes for you young people and you little ones as well. Hallelujah. There was a quote by one of the American presidents that really impressed me. And they were saying that liberty is not something that we pass on to our kids. Liberty is something that each generation has to fight for. And we're seeing it, you understand? We're seeing it unfold before us. We think it's the right of inheritance. And it's not. Hallelujah. Each generation has to move under the concept of conviction concerning the Word of God. And if you don't believe that you're called to be a son, then that is your starting point.
Amen.
You have to start somewhere. You have to understand the reality of where you are in your gospel concerning what it is that you believe.
Hallelujah. If you just believe in heaven, fine. Start at that point. Because heaven is not something that is out there. Heaven is something that is supposed to be inside of you. And heaven is inside of you. Have the king walking in that realm. Let the king assert his authority over your soul. And begin to bring you into a greater realization and understanding what it is that he has projected and decreed as your destiny.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Well, 8 is the number of new beginnings. 9 is the number of judgment. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
What happens if you don't confess the Lord? Hallelujah. It works both ways. It works both ways. If you do not confess the Lord, you're confessing something else.
That's right.
But the problem is we're not silent. We're not passive. We're not static. Because we either profess negative darkness or we profess light. And I don't mean professing light as a club to beat somebody else into a place of submission. I'm not talking about the light, the darkness or the light that is around about you. I'm talking about the light or the darkness that is in your soul. I have an individual responsibility to overcome that darkness.
Amen. Amen.
Yeah. Hallelujah. Now, I'm going to be held accountable for what I do or don't. 9 is the number of judgment.
Mm-hmm.
And this verse says there is a judgment. Hallelujah. For doing the wrong or the right thing.
Amen.
If I do the right thing, then out there's going to be a manifestation down the road that is going to come, that is going to reveal the thing that was done is right.
Amen.
And it may be down the road there, you know. However, but if I do the wrong thing, usually the manifestation is instantaneously. I say the wrong thing and you get angry with me. Hallelujah.
Or you say the right thing.
Well, whatever the case may be, but you getting angry doesn't give me the right to be angry back at you.
Amen.
You know, I was talking to a man recently, and we were talking about division, separation, and body, and all of that. And I said, you know, it's all a reality. But the fact of the matter is, I said, none of us are in that position. None of us are in that place. None of us know what it is to be in the body of Christ.
Amen.
I said, we don't know it because we're not participating or practicing the lower things of Christianity in the position or the place of lasting relationship with Jesus Christ. God, there will be no unity between you or me unless I have unity with God. And my unity with God is not going to guarantee that you have unity with God or unity with me. But if I have unity or you have unity, let me put it the other way. If you have unity with God, if you're working your unity, God, my disunity is not your business, it's God's business.
Right.
And if I divide myself from you, that's one thing. That's my transgression. But if you let my wrongness, my division, separate you from me, you have a problem.
Yes, amen.
You have a problem. You have a problem. Not my problem, your problem.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. We have been living down here.
Amen.
And Brother Ducille used to call it low bite.
Right. Yeah.
We've been low bite people. We've been feeding off of the grass that is down next to the ground, clipping it off, and taking in the dirt and all of the sand and dust and the things that are down there.
Amen.
We were in Ethiopia, and there was a word that was brought to one of the people that was coming to the meetings. It was a word concerning the word that we were bringing. And in the vision, he saw 7 golden gates, but behind the gates, he saw this lush, green, living grass. He said he had never seen grass like that. Hallelujah. He says it was tall. It was about like this. He said it was just, he put his hand out there. He says, it's about like this. And it was so alive and so living and as though it were beckoning him.
Amen, amen.
Beckoning him. And he said he just wanted to run and jump.
Hallelujah.
And it's to roll around in it and to stuff it into his mouth. Praise Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. We have a theology. We have a concept that is a religious thought. It's a good thought, but unless we activate it, it will only be a good thought. And it will always be theology. It will never be reality of life. The Word of God was never meant to be theology.
Amen.
Doctrine was nothing more than a step to get you up one close higher to the reality of living a life.
Amen.
Hallelujah. That is free and totally out of the realm of which we were born again. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, they said of Abraham, I can tell, well, where are you going, Abraham? I don't know where I'm going. You don't know where you're going? You pull out and you pull stakes and you go out and you just do this. You don't know where you're going? He said, well, I know one thing. There is a city.
Yeah.
And you know, he was really looking for a city. He says, whose builder and maker was God. There was something in Abraham's soul that he believed in the actuality, the reality of that provision, and it gave him the strength to go out.
That's right.
And wander back and forth, up and down. Now the man made mistakes. Come on. Hallelujah. But the mistakes were being utilized to bring him closer and closer and closer and closer to a position of relationship with a living God, that God could call him his friend.
Yes. Amen.
God called Abraham his friend.
Amen.
Have any of you had God come and say, you're my friend?
Hallelujah.
Not me. I haven't had that experience yet.
Amen.
Hallelujah. But I'm looking for it. I want it. Hallelujah. Not only do I want that experience, hallelujah, but Abraham had to go through what he went through to demonstrate the reality of what goes on in our lives and the decisions that we have to make and the consequences of making the right decision and the wrong decision. He suffered for yours and my sake. To one day God says, now I know you.
Amen, amen.
Now I know you. That's what I really want. That's what I really want. Not just to be a friend of God, but God to say, now I know you.
Yes, amen.
Hallelujah. So there's a position, there's a place. If I confess, you know, my mother used to say, here she comes, actions speak louder than words. I can hear her just as clear as it was back then. She would say, Bert, actions speak louder than your words. But at that time, I knew I was in trouble. Hallelujah. And it's true. Our actions proclaim. Our actions promote. Our actions produce. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And they produce sometimes things that we did not think they would do. That's why James says, is it, brethren, should sweet water and bitter water come out of the same fountain? Amen. Hallelujah. He says, do you not know that your words, they are spirit and they are life or they are death?
Amen.
Hallelujah. And it's not so much other people around you. You know, you can be sitting in your chair commiserating with yourself.
Yes.
Commiserating with your own darkness. You see, you and I have this darkness in us. And the devil needs your darkness. He needs your darkness. He needs it. Because without it, he is powerless over your soul. So, he does something to you. He allows you to get put into a secret situation or a circumstance. And you may not say anything to anybody, but you go into a corner and you begin to commiserate. What are you commiserating with? You talk to yourself. about this and about that and how bad it is and how bad you feel and how miserable you are and how life is so mistreating or misusing and abusing you, and you want to go home to be with the Lord. What's happening? What's happening? There is a negative energy that you begin to produce. You're not aware of it. You feel so bad and miserable and absolutely, totally worthless and wiped out that you don't think you could get one little spark out of you. But there is a negative energy because the devil is working you. The devil is working my mind. He's working it to get me to think in a certain way. And to begin to, and as I begin to think that way, the generator begins to turn. And it turns, and it gets faster, and it gets better, and being more aggravated, and more. And it begins to produce this darkness,
yes.
And that darkness begins to work on my body.
Amen.
Yes, it does.
It begins to work on my body. I get a pain in my back. Oh, I get a pain in my leg. Oh, I get a pain in my head. I get a pain in my neck, and it's not you. It's my darkness. Now, in to the degree that I submit myself to it,
yeah.
I become one of those, what are they? Like electromagnetic that builds and builds. It's like a capacitor. Isn't it a capacitor that builds and builds and builds? And then if you do something, you go, hallelujah. It releases its negative energy. And maybe you're the negative, maybe negative target. And that thing goes, whoop!
Amen.
I'm guilty. Hello?
Yeah.
I am guilty.
Yeah.
I am guilty. Hallelujah. Before God, I am guilty. Because He has given me the power. To resist it. He is giving. He says, resist the devil. And the devil, you resist him. What does it do? Well, you take the pedal power off of the generator and it goes. Take the pedal power off of it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We have to understand. This is verse 9. If we shall confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus, if we confess with our mouth that darkness is preeminent and supreme, what are we going to have?
Right.
We're going to have the administration of darkness.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, the word is so very good. It says, receive not an accusation against the brother unless in the mouths of two or three witnesses. And those should be credible witnesses, not the witnesses that were drug up to accuse Jesus Christ. And yet, even in that kind of a scenario, there is a response that you have to do to demonstrate the reality of what you believe. It says, for the joy that was set before Him. He endured what?
The shame.
The shame.
Hallelujah.
I don't even think we can comprehend the diabolical degree of shame that was put on Him. The degrading of His person, His manhood, His position, His place,
hallelujah.
His personality was so devastated and totally savaged. Savaged.
Hallelujah.
Savaged. And He said on the cross, forgive them.
Hallelujah.
My God. Forgive them. Forgive them. For they know not what they do. Hallelujah. You know, even God couldn't look at Him. My God. My God. Why hast thou forsaken? Did that throw Him? That was a testimony of His position, His place, the depth of His character that was rooted in the reality of eternity. Because He says, into your hands It was next verse, next word.
Amen.
Hallelujah. God forsaken him, but into your hands.
Yeah.
He refused to believe the reality that his soul was condemned to eternal darkness.
Amen. Hallelujah.
He refused it.
Hallelujah.
He refused it.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
He refused it.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. We should be of like mind.
Amen.
We should be of like character. If we are not, then we should say, God, this is where I want to be.
Yeah.
This is the thing that I want to be working in my soul.
Jesus.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, and we come down to the realm of the physical. Hallelujah. It says, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. You know, you could also say, in some respects, thou shalt also be raised. Hello?
That's right.
Thou shalt also be resurrected. There's another scripture. It says, out of beauty, out of ashes, shall I bring beauty. Hallelujah. Ashes is something that's dead, that's gone, that's what destroyed, and totality is unredeemable, incapable of putting it back together. But out of that ashes, God says, comes resurrection.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Do we believe it?
Amen.
Is it a reality? If it's not, don't put yourself down in the dumps because it's not. Get into God to find out what you have to do to be in that position and to achieve and to receive what it is that God has for you. And you know, you're in a conversation with a person. Don't let them put their darkness on them or on you or in the environment. Now, I'm not saying, brother, you get up and bash them with scripture. I'm saying you get a word, kind, gentle, calm. Hallelujah. Well, as gentle, calm as you can be. Some of us have to work on that level. Hallelujah. We're not yet perfected in the matter of gentleness and calmness. Hallelujah. But we have the ability to achieve that position of relationship. Hallelujah. For the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Brethren, if you do not use your mouth to speak what's in your heart, you begin to work detrimentally and diametrically against what it is that you have.
Praise the Lord.
It was Brother George's testimony. When he got saved, the man that saved him said, now, Brother George, you go out and you find two people and you tell them what God has done for you. Huh? It's elemental. It's good. It's good advice, but it's elemental. Hallelujah. What God is talking to us about, that there has to be the righteousness that you are desiring, cannot just be a thought you are thinking. It has to be something that is cemented and planted, I should say planted, in your soul to produce a fruit that is visible in the verbal arena as well as in the visible realm. Hallelujah. Every healing that Jesus did was a visible healing.
Amen.
Eyes, limbs, words, ears, dead. Every healing that he did was a visible, there was a visible result. And the people that he healed could not contain themselves. He instructed them, tell no man. What'd they do? They went out and proclaimed even the more. Hello? They went out and proclaimed even the more. You know, his best advertisement was to tell people not to say anything.
That's
It's a foreign concept to us. We want to tell everybody anything that we've done that is of any spiritual value. My goodness. And I'm not saying that we don't testify. Please do not misunderstand me.
Yeah.
That is not what I'm saying. We need to testify. We need to tell of those things that God does for us. But we need to understand the reality of what are the context of what I am speaking.
Well, it glorifies the Lord, but it doesn't bring pride to pride.
Absolutely. Hallelujah. And it should only be done by virtue of the moving of God's Spirit upon you or upon me to profess and to proclaim.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And if I heal somebody, I should say, now look, don't go tell nobody about this. Oh, what if I really did something really fantastic? Huh? What if I raised a dead person? You don't go tell nobody about this. Well, of course, the first thing that happens is they walk out in the den. Everybody faints because the person was dead. And now they're alive. But you don't tell them that I did it, that I was the one that prayed for you. Just don't do that. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, there's not many of us who raise dead people, but we have seen miracles and we have been involved in miracles. And you know, the first thing we want to do is blow our horn.
Yeah.
Or some of us. Praise the Lord. It says, for the man, for the heart, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Brethren, there's not only a need for us to be knowing the reality of God, knowing or moving with God in that realm that is called eternity and light, but there's also a need for us to be able to demonstrate it, to proclaim it, and to speak concerning it in our lives, our actions, our words, and our behaviors.
Amen.
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 You know, if we are a people that do that, come to that position, it will make no difference. Make no difference what the devil does. Make no difference what darkness we encounter, because the devil will come to us and there will be nothing.
Amen.
That he will find.
Amen.
You know, that brings me to one last thought I want to share with you. I've shared many times about the vision of being in the war room in Sierra Leone. But there was a little addendum to that the Lord brought to me while I was in the Czech Republic, and I was listening to somebody relating it. And it was like I was back at that place, but it was kind of like an addendum vision. I had said that they had these Sons of God folders.
Yes.
On the table. Well, one of their concerns was, and there was a man, who picked up a file and he was looking at it, and I noticed a very strange, peculiar thing. He was flipping through several pages and he came finally to a page, and the page was disappearing.
Oh, hallelujah.
The page was disappearing, the like invisible ink.
Thank you.
But it was being wiped clean, and there was a great consternation.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
There was a great consternation in the camp, in the council. So it really tells me, and it encouraged me, to know that the Word of God is bringing in this hour concerning light and darkness, concerning our position of relationship. That Word is working.
Yes.
And there are individuals who are eradicating.
Hallelujah.
Who are eradicating the information.
Amen.
That the devil has. And there was I can tell you the consternation or the alarm that was going off in that council concerning this thing that was happening. So God bless you.
Yeah,
God bless you.
Fulfillment of that scripture that says that handwriting of ordinances are wiped out.
Yeah.
Now they're being wiped out.
Yay!